MLM Nation, episode 635.
Welcome to MLM Nation, a podcast of leaders, by leaders, for leaders, hosted by Simon Chan. He's built a team of over 200,000 and is now a full-time MLM coach and trainer. So if you're ready to level up your business, join us now. Let's do this.
If you love this show, you're going to love my daily pep talk. It's free for everyone. It's a quick 2-3 minute motivation every single day at 8:25 a.m. to get you going. You can catch it live. You can catch it recorded on my Instagram channel or on my Simon Chan. It's free for everyone. Hey, I'm here to motivate you and pump you up. And I look forward to seeing you on my daily pep talk. ML Nation, this is Simon Chan. I'm fired up to bring our special guest today. Took me 4 years of follow-up to finally get him on the show. We have Stefan Page. Hey, Stefan, are you ready to make it happen?
Oh, absolutely, Simon. Let's make it happen.
Stefan Page got introduced to network marketing when he was only 19 years old. He tried to start his own MLM company only to close it down, and then he ended up joining four other companies in the next 16 years. He struggled in all of them, and ended up running a snowmobile rental business for a living instead. In 2011, he joined another company, and then he finally made it happen. After working the business part-time, in 2.5 years, he was able to out-earn his snowmobile business, so he ended up selling them and became a full-time leader. 2 years later, his wife Claudia joined him in his company, and today they are multiple six-figure earners. And last year, in 2019, they were top distributors in America, Canada, Australia, and Mexico. They have also helped open South Korea, Indonesia, have one of the fastest growing teams in Europe. Stefan and his wife, Claudia, live in a small town of 4,000 people in Quebec, Canada. So Stefan, finally, welcome to the show. Take us back to when you were 19 years old. How did you get exposed to network marketing? And what were you thinking of to start your own company?
Yeah. Well, it started a little bit earlier. Actually, I was 16 year old. My father, and he had these piles of books, you know, on personal development. And one of the books he gave me was this one, The Power of Your Subconscious Mind. That's the French version. So I read that book. I was 16 years old. It took me a year to read it. I was really not interested in school or anything. So reading was not my thing. But I got through it. And then at the end, I realized, oh my gosh, this is the best thing ever. Because I was a shy guy, not many friends in school. I was not the life of the party, very introvert. But the thing is, I didn't know what I was going to do in my life. But the thing is, this opened a world of possibilities for me. I just realized, wow, there's so much we can do. And so then I started to dream. I wanted to travel the world. I wanted to make a lot of money. I wanted to give to charity. And then one day in school, the teacher gave us a test to determine what kind of careers we should go into. And so I had all these big dreams and everything. So I got the results, and I'm looking on the right side, and it shows the income. And I looked, like, the biggest one was $35,000 a year. So what am I going to do with $35,000? And I look, it's plumber. I said, I got nothing against plumber, but I was so mad because I realized that school was teaching us what we should be good at in life. And I said, in that moment, it clicked. I remembered so much that day. I said, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to become successful, and I'm going to come back, and I'm going to teach people how to succeed. So then a year later, my father, I happened to get in the kitchen, pass behind him, and he's sitting with two other people, and he's drawing circles on a piece of paper. So I'm there in the kitchen, and I'm eating stuff and checking what he's doing on the side, and I'm trying to understand what he's talking about. No idea. What is that thing? Those two people, they just left. No interest at all. So I said, what is that thing? And he started to show me, like, if you help other people become successful, you become more successful, and it just grows like this. And that's when it clicked. I said, that's the vehicle. Because I wanted to become successful so I could teach. Now I didn't have to wait. I just was going to do it with others. That's how I got my introduction.
So how did you end up, what happened there? How long did you stay there? And then how did you end up, you know, starting your own company?
Yeah, so I didn't know at the time that there were many MLM companies. And so I had this idea. I thought, okay, why you know, order products online, or, you know, get products shipped to your place, and you store all this inventory and you resell. So I thought, why don't we use existing merchants, you know, like restaurants, hotels, and all these places. And we drive people there and we collect a commission from driving traffic there. But I said, how do I collect all the money from all these people? And so then I went to the bank, the National Bank of Canada. And I understand I'm 18 years old at the time. Okay. And so I go to the National Bank of Canada and I basically figured out how to get an agreement with them. And I created this card. This is a demo card, but this is a real card we did with MasterCard. And this was the first co-branded credit card in Canada. And the name Réseau in French means network. Okay, so I created that and we launched. And I started my own MLM company. Now, lots of troubles, lots of things, but whatever. Made it happen. And then soon after, like a couple years down the road, I realized I didn't like the corporate side because I had all these employees. I was negotiating merchants and all of that. My dream was to build a network, help people. And so that's why I closed down that company and I joined another MLM company at the time. And the next three companies went out of business. And so it was just like, and it was years and years and years of work, go out of business, work, go out of business. And so that's basically what happened over there.
So your first company, when you saw your dad drawing circles, did you have success there before you opened up Réseau?
No, actually, it was not. I didn't join that company. My father was explaining that to two people, but he was not building the business. He had an idea of creating his own MLM company. And so he had that idea of creating a company. And I said, well, I'm going to do it. And that's where I came up with that idea. So I created that company and we had some good success corporate wise, but the margins were so small on the card. It was, you know, we needed thousands of people for people to make any money. So I eventually just shut it down. So that was my first real experience just starting my own company at, I was 19 when I created that company.
So once you, you say you joined a couple other companies afterwards, they went out of business, went out. Did you have any success in those businesses?
No.
Could you recruit?
I must have recruited like, I would say 10 to 15 people over 16 years.
Wow. Okay.
So it was total failure.
Looking back, what were some of the mistakes you made?
Well, I would say, I remember like Tony Robbins talk about sabotage your success. Well, here's what happened. When I was young, I had these big dreams. Remember the book and all of that? So I had big dreams and I wanted this specific car. I got the car. I wanted to create that company. I created it. I wanted to raise money for funding that company. I got $350,000 to start my company. Like anything I wanted, I got. I think it's the innocence of a young person without the like all the challenges that you're going to face in life. You're just like so innocent. You just go full throttle. And that's what I was doing. And every night I would come back and complain to my wife. I would say, it's too easy. I read all these books and they talk about, you know, that all the struggles, all the problems they had to go through. And I said, you know, you hear about Henry Ford and Walt Disney and all of them. And I said, my story is not compelling. It's too easy. And I think that was one of the biggest mistakes I've ever made because I think I created the struggle because I wanted the struggle. I wanted the struggle so I would have a great story. And so after that company, everything fell apart, lost everything. Nothing was working. And for years it was like that. So what happened after that is my wife, a couple years later, told me that this is what I had done. I didn't realize for years I was not understanding why I was so in failure after failure. And she says, "You don't know why?" I said, "What do you mean you don't know why? Do you know?" And she says, "Yeah. Don't you remember you were complaining all the time?" I said, "Oh my goodness, can you really?" And I said, that's it. Over. Watch out. I'm back. And that's when things started to happen.
Just to share some, I can relate to some of the listeners. I just want to elaborate a little bit. You're like, what does that mean to create things that are too easy? I think it's like the limiting beliefs you create. And I kind of relate to that because I grew up in an upper middle class family. My dad was a doctor. I was always the richest kid in school. And I actually didn't like that because I wanted to fit in, right? So I wanted to fit in. So when I started my own career, that's exactly what I did. I basically did all the bad money mistakes, chose a job that paid nothing. So I definitely fit in. I kind of like, you know, my parents put me to good education for success, but I wanted to fit in and I kind of self-sabotaged myself, just like the way you did.
Yeah.
I can relate to that. So you got started your new company in 2011. What were some of the things you did differently? Because obviously, you know, to be number one, you had to recruit a lot of people. And before, you only recruit 10, 15 people in 15 years. What are some things that changed?
Well, you know, after all these years, mistake and problems and challenges, here's what I understood was that anything I would learn, they would say, okay, you need to go and prospect online. I would do it, but halfway, because I was always hesitant. And am I doing it right? Am I saying the right thing? Am I reaching out to the right people? And always questioning because I had doubts, right? Because I was immersed in all these problems and failures. So I was always wondering, what am I doing wrong? And so I recognized that. And so I reached out to a guy, which you know well, Tim Sales. And so I reached out to him because I had his phone number from years ago. I had attended an event that I got his number. So I reached out to him and I told him, I said, Tim, I know you are retired. You're not building anymore, but I know you still have a position in a company. I want you to sponsor me. I'm not in any company. You're not going to do three-way calls or presentations for me. Just tell me what to do and I'll go do it. And he accepted. And all he did is he pointed me to one area. So I knew how to generate leads. I knew how to get prospects. So he said, okay, do you know how to invite? Well, I suck. I'm pretty bad at inviting. And he said, okay, what's your ratio? I said, well, less than 10% of people I talk to say, yes, I'm going to look at the information. So he said, okay, you need to learn how to invite people. And so he taught me the inviting formula through his CDs. So I was listening to the CDs over and over and over again, and then recording my calls and doing that for hours and hours till sometimes 1 o'clock in the morning. So I would go from 8 to 9 o'clock my time. Then I would switch time zone, go to another time zone from 8 to 9 their time zone. And then at 9, I would switch another time zone. And so I would do that for several hours. And so I got good at inviting. 96% of the people I would talk to would say, yes, I want to take a look at the information. So I would go back to him and say, okay, I'm good, but nobody signs up. He said, okay, you need to be good at presentation and follow-up. So I learned that. And then I got good. I sponsored a bunch of people. And I said, okay, now I'm sponsoring all these people, but nobody's doing anything. He said, okay, you need to master the last part, which is duplication. You need to train your team properly. And so I learned that. And then that's how basically things started to happen for me. I recognized that I had lost confidence in myself and my abilities. And I needed to put my confidence in someone else and do anything they would tell me to do. Reaching out to a mentor that guided me was the best thing I've ever done.
That's good stuff. And then great advice here, focusing on one thing at a time. Right. I think a lot of people, they know they have to recruit, but they're focused on closing, presenting, inviting, follow up, or and they never get really good at it. And then you did something that most people won't do. You say you record it and listen to yourself.
Oh, yeah.
What did you discover the first time?
Oh, boy, it's weird. And actually, Tim asked me to send him the recordings. And so I sent him files after files after files. And he listened to them all. And I said, OK, so what's the feedback? He says, keep going. You're good. And I was like, really? Really? That's all he gives me after all these hours? And later on, he told me, he said, Stefan, I could have adjusted a few things, but I knew that at that point, if you just kept on going, you would get one person on board and then a second one and a third one. For me to crush your confidence at that time, it would not have helped you. Hmm. I just needed to, you know, to make sure you just keep doing numbers because you were on track. You would correct the little things.
That is actually a really good lesson there. Like instead of, like, if you gave lots of feedback, you've been discouraged, demoralized, you probably stopped. But he just rewarded you, say, great activity, because he knows as long as you keep going, you listen to him, you get there. Very good stuff. Hey, by the way, ML Nation, Tim Sales, you know, he's a legendary trainer, network marketing leader. He's been on the ML Nation twice. You can check it out on episode 620 and 571. So getting back to you, was there a point in your business where it was like an aha moment, where something like a light bulb, something clicked, and then things really, really took off?
Yes. That moment was, you know how when you have kids, you want to teach them all the great stuff, and especially when you learn about you know, how to think big and all of that. So I was teaching my kids how to think and dream about the future and think about what you have now and what you do is the past. Okay, so think about where you want to live in the future as if it's the present, if it's now. And so we're driving back home, and I got the three girls in the back. And so we're driving, and we see our house, our current house, in the distance. And the little one, the middle one, she says, "Isn't it amazing that we used to live there? And actually, we were still living there." And I thought, oh my gosh, she got it. She's thinking that that's the past. And so I thought, this is it. Like, I can't deceive my kids. Everything I've been teaching them, I'm not doing myself. I'm not a good dad showing them the right way to succeed. I'm just a failure. No way. I'm not accepting that. And that's when it didn't happen like overnight. You know, nothing changed right away. But I said, I just can't live with that because I don't want my kids to look back in the future and say, well, that's, you know, what he taught me was not true. And so that's when things changed. And that's when I reached out to my mentor, Tim, because I said, okay, anything I have to do, what is it? And I knew I had all the answers. I think all of the listeners already have the answers. They know what they have to do. And so they just don't do it. And so I said, okay, I need to reach out to someone I believe in. I need to do the activities. And I started to just do those things in a massive way.
You know, you referred to the book before when you started the show, The Power of the Subconscious Mind. And it can help you and it can sabotage you. And for many years, it was sabotaging you, right? You didn't know this. And then you had to switch and that was helping you.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Because we all have those things. It's just that I think they're just dormant. They're just, you know, sleeping. You need to just awake, you know, wake up and get going.
Switching gears a little bit. This is my favorite question. What is your worst moment in network marketing to the point you had regrets and that you even did this? But you didn't quit, and that's why you are where you are today.
Yeah. There's many worst moments because in your career, there's all kinds of situations. So it's hard to pick one because you evolve. And so the worst moment when you begin is the worst at that time. But then later on, you're more successful. And so that in that situation, that's the worst moment. But I'll give you one. So at least I'm answering this one. So I would say the worst one was at the beginning, because when you're later on and you're successful, you can always point back and say, okay, yes, it's tough. It's a tough one, but I know I can make it happen. But when you're at the beginning, that's where you're the most fragile. That's where it can break you. And so what happened is I had built an organization and I had two lines, like pretty solid. And one of the team was earning me about $2,500 a week. And I flew to Chile. My wife is from Chile. And so we went there on a trip. And I learned that my biggest leader in that line, he left. And he brought over his old team. So my commission went from $2,000 in the following week, $30.
While you're flying there, going there.
Yeah, so I was already in Chile. I was over there just on the trip with the family. And I learned that my leader just left.
Wow.
And I'm over there on the trip. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, what am I going to do? There's no money being deposited next week. I mean, everything is, so I'm going to run on the credit cards. I still have 2 weeks here. What do I do? Do I go back home? So that was, to me, that was a pretty big breakdown.
So what was your thinking? What's your thinking, your self-talk, when something like that happens?
Well, here's what I've done. I've since the beginning, I wrote down every month. I would sit down and I would write everything that happened that month, like the good, the bad, and my thoughts and everything. And so when that happened, I wrote it down, how I felt, how, you know, that I was devastated because I need to rebuild this whole thing. But the reason I wrote down those things was because I knew that one day I would go back and tell those stories and show people that, you know, things happen and you can get back on track. So for me, when I wrote it down, I knew that that was a moment that one day I would go back and talk about it And people would say, oh my gosh, what would I do? I would just quit. But he did it, and look where he is now. And I thought that these moments would just inspire someone to keep going and change their lives. So that is the thought that happens anytime something happens to me. So
yeah, that's good. It's like your worst moments are the stories you share on stage.
That's it.
Yeah, you're sharing that right now, inspiring someone. Someone listening to this is being inspired right now by that story.
I hope so.
Yeah. How important is consistency to success?
Yeah, it's everything revolves around that, because it's just like working out at the gym. You know, if you're not consistent, you can work out for a week, but then you quit. You got to start all over again. So consistency is, for me, I was consistent at some point in my career. I was consistent, but without the drive, the determination, without being convinced I was doing the right thing. So always with hesitancy and without skills. And so you can be very consistent without the skills, without the right mindset, but you're not going to get the results. Over time, you may, but it's going to take a long time, like myself. So I think consistency is one of the, you know, very important thing, but it goes along with your mindset and your skills, developing your skills.
If you want something new and different, go check out this group, Purpose Driven Networkers. It's the only group where you get to prospect with myself and other top leaders at least 15 times a week. You also get accountability. And if you're stuck and not sure how to reply back to prospects, then you get to send me screenshots of your conversations and I'll guide you on what to say. You also get access to over 180 different trainings that should teach you everything from building your business on Instagram to prospecting LinkedIn to even more traditional methods of building, such as doing home meetings or coffee shop meetings. It also has a 5-step program that help you get your next customer or rep within 28 days. And most people get a lot quicker than that. No other group in network marketing can give you this type of training, coaching, and accountability combined. So if you're ready to take your business to the next level, go check it out at PurposeDrivenNetworkers.com. Again, that's www.PurposeDrivenNetworkers.com. Absolutely. Hey, thank you so much for sharing. As we go towards the end of the show, some quick questions to pick your brain. And these can be quick one-liners. So what is one of your favorite success quotes that motivates you?
On this rock I stand, and world, you will adjust.
I like that. Who's that by?
Peggy Long. She was a leader back when I was in my 20s. I don't even know if she's still in the business, but Peggy Long. She said that in a magazine at the time. It was Upline magazine many, many years ago. And so I read that, and it stayed with me because I believe that all kinds of things will happen to you, but watch out, because there's nothing that's going to put me down to do nothing. I'm going to come back and I'm going to do it. I'm going to make it happen. So that's my philosophy.
What's one habit that's helped you become successful?
Yeah, I think it has to do with definitely the mindset, but I would say if I were to pick a word, it would be ownership. It would be ownership, because you need to own anything that happens to you, the good, the bad, whatever. There's going to be challenges. There's going to be all kinds of things standing in the way. You just can't blame anything, the company, the products, the timing, whatever. You just take ownership and you make it happen.
What's the best piece of advice you ever received?
I would say that it's not what happens to you, but how you react to it.
What's your favorite prospecting tool? So if someone's interested, you send them a video, do a Zoom.
Yeah. It's video. So a video teaser followed by a longer presentation, I would say 40 minutes. Those are my favorite tools. In 9 years, I have done probably 10 opportunity presentations myself, because I use tools. You know, they just do the job for me. It's so much easier. Even if I'm meeting someone local, it's a friend or whoever, I say, okay, go check it out before we meet.
That's good. What's your favorite app on your phone?
It's a boring one, but it's the one I use all the time, and I wouldn't go without. It's Dropbox, because my whole computer is on Dropbox. My phone, like, I've got access to everything, every file, all the time.
What's two or three books you could recommend to ML Nation?
Well, definitely this one, But there's one more, and we talked about ownership. This one, extreme ownership.
Yes.
That's a great one. This one is, I mean, it just tells you exactly that you own whatever happens to you. And so that's the best one.
And here's the last question, the million-dollar question. You ready?
Yes.
So imagine you had to start all over again, and you knew no one. You had a contact list of zero. You didn't know Claudia. You didn't know your girls. You're like an alien that went to another world. But you had all your current knowledge, skills, and wisdom. What's the first thing you do, or the first place you go, to build a network marketing business from scratch?
In 2011, my company, the one I wanted to work with, was not in Canada. And so I had to build elsewhere. So I built in the U.S., Mexico, Australia, and I went online. And so social media would be my place. I would go into interest groups, you know, things I love to do. And I would meet people there, just make friends. And then from there, build that relationship. And you know, that's where I would find my prospect. That's how I still do it today. And back in the days, I would do it on AOL.
Hey, what do you like to do? What interest groups do you do? What do you do?
Oh, I love outdoors. I love to travel. So those are the two main things, outdoor, hiking, you know, all of that, and travel.
Yeah, I was actually on your Facebook checking out. You have great pictures of the outdoors, you and Claudia.
Yeah, yes, we love it.
Beautiful there. Hey, thank you so much. As we wrap up, any last words or advice? And then what's the best way our listeners can connect with you?
Yeah, so last word of advice, I would say get your partner on board. Don't be too hard on them, right? After 16 years, you can imagine my wife, she was the one taking care of our family. She was the one working three jobs at a time to pay for, you know, the ski lessons, all the important things for our kids. And so what I did is I just focused and built my business to the point where I started to have success. But one thing I did that is really a great advice is that one day I invited her to an event to the company, like one of the trips. I got her on the trip, like, hey, come over. So she came and I said, you don't attend the convention. Just pick one speaker, only one. Hmm. And she picked one. She attended the convention. She loved it. And she was on board. And from then we started to work together. And now we're, you know, living the dream together. That would be my advice. Take care of your partner, but don't be too hard on them. Just do your own thing. Do your thing on the side. Be serious, and then invite her to the trips, the fun, and get her connected to the right people. So how to reach me, StephanPage.com. That's my website.
And MLM Nation, you're the average of the five people you spend the most time with. And today, you've been hanging out with Stephan Page. So keep up the momentum and go to MLMNation.com and click on the podcast tab at the top and the show notes to order nuggets of wisdom, and the links to reach out to Stephan will be right there. In order to be successful in life, in business, in network marketing, you must help others. So, Stephan, thanks again for sharing your valuable time with MLM Nation. We're grateful to you, and we appreciate you for having a positive impact on millions of distributors worldwide. Thank you so much again, and God bless you.
Thank you, Simon.
Hey, MLM Nation, do you ever struggle with consistency or worried about what are you saying the wrong thing, what to say back to your prospects? Well, now you don't have to worry. Go check it out, BYOB. This is when you and I, we go together on Zoom, and I'll guide you word for word on what to say, and I guarantee you can get at least one interested prospect for your business, service, or products by the end of the session. It's a ton of fun. Go check it out at mlnation.com/BYOB. Hey, ML Nation, Simon Chan. We'll recap a review from a great show from Stephan Page. I love the stories. I love those people who've been in the profession for so long. And actually, took me 4 years of follow-up, just to let you know. I always say, there's never a bad prospect, just the wrong time for the right prospect. And by the way, if you hear my boys screaming, I'm sorry, they're playing out there. It's just right before dinner, they're outside playing. So I apologize for that. I'm making this happen with three boys and OB running around. But yeah, I met Stephan at an event. Actually, I spoke at a company event, and it was his company. And you know, try to connect them. And he was like, his English wasn't that good. It was a story that he didn't share, but he couldn't speak English because he's in French-speaking Canada. And he learned English by listening to personal development, English personal development. That's how you learn to speak English. I just didn't have time to dig deep into that. He was going through trainings and trainings. He talked about reaching out to Tim Sales, going through his trainings. And that's actually how you learn English. And thanks to Steve Schwartz, one of my good friends, one of my mentors who connected me. Shout out to Steve, who's also on episode, forgot what episode he was on. But it was on, I'll tell you right now, episode 21, How to Build Your Business Part-Time. Steve Schwartz, big good friend of mine, connecting me with Stefan at that event. So good stuff here. You talk about the mistakes and a lot about the subconscious mind. I think that's a book that definitely everyone must read, The Power of the Subconscious Mind. It can work for you good and work for you bad. And subconscious mind is, you know, if you don't understand it, it was kind of a hard concept for me to first understand. It's basically like if you're driving and you're not thinking about how to get home, right? You're not thinking how to get home, but all of a sudden you're home. That's like the subconscious mind working, right? Your conscious mind may be thinking about what I got to do, my business, like what's for dinner, but your subconscious mind is working, driving, and you're home. That's basically subconscious, but it can help you or it can mess you up. And, you know, Stefan shared about his limiting the beliefs. I thought it was too easy and made it hard for him. Talked about actually learning the skills, being consistent, how Tim helped him out. And you know what? Getting good at something. It's like you really got to go deep at one thing, right? I always share that you want to learn everything, but find out what are you weak at right now and just focus on that one thing. Yes, the one thing and focus on it, focus. And then, you know, he talked about he wasn't good at inviting. And then you just record his calls, which I highly recommend recording your calls, getting good at it. And then he was like, he was good at inviting to 96%, but he couldn't present. Then he worked on to the next step, right? Working one step at a time. And good lesson for training your team too. Like Tim didn't give them harsh feedback, just gave them very small praise to keep them going because he knew that if he gave too harsh feedback, they'll discourage him, even though he wasn't good. But just to give some more feedback to keep him going because you know consistency with the right mindset, you know, consistency creates mastery. As long as you do keep doing it again and again, you develop the skills. Another good thing was the worst moment is we always have a lot of worst moments. It's not like you have this one bad moment, it ends. We're constantly hit with challenges. He talks about journaling, writing down his negative thoughts and how quickly he'll bounce back. And so that one day you'll be on stage sharing that. So if you have a tough moment right now, just say to yourself, you're going to make it. You know, you made it already. One day when you're on stage, you're going to share that story. And that, you know, I always share on social media, your worst moments are the raw materials for your future success. You know, your worst moments are the raw materials for your future success. And so live in the future. See yourself. Don't see yourself as who you are. See yourself as you've made it already. And it's a great story about her girl, what she said to Stefan while they're driving by. So a lot of great stuff out there. I'll talk about his habits, his routines, habits of taking ownership. It's everything's your fault. And I think leaders know that you have to take ownership. If you can't take ownership, you can't be successful. And it's not what happens to you, it's how you react, right? And that's, again, taking ownership. Something bad happens to you, you have stuff at work, you have stuff at family. It's that happens, but how are you going to react to it? So great show. I can go on and on. Thanks again to Stefan Page. I think 4 years of follow-up was definitely worth it. Go to mlnation.com. Click on the show notes page there and the podcast tab. You can connect, order nuggets of wisdom are there. And please, hey, I appreciate your feedback. Subscribe and review. Leave us a review there. I read all of them. Appreciate you all for listening. Hey, thank you. Simon Chan, I'm signing out. I'm loud and proud to be part of this amazing profession. Now it's over to you. Remember, we're in the profession to help others. So go out there and have a positive impact on someone's life today. God bless you all.